This is Open Run.
Not bad.
Nailed it. Love it. All right, welcome back to Open Run on the Roof, our new segment series we're doing just from a rooftop in the West Village. Just your standard midnight taping of Open Run after Game 5 of the Celtics-Cavs, or as we call it, Celtics-Celtics.
Why don't we always record outdoors?
It's a lovely summer night. Can we call it summer yet?
Yeah, and not a single siren has gone off yet. This is unheard of.
That's a siren's cue, so thanks for that.
We're looking at the Empire State Building in all its glory.
There's a star in the sky, guys. Just one.
There's a water tower here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard about a horrible...
Did you hear a horrible water tower story?
Yeah. It was an L.A. water tower story about someone who, when they found a body in a water tower, in a water tank.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where you were going. Is that recent or is that an old wives' tale?
It's from a couple of years ago. I'm sorry I brought this up.
Uh-huh.
It's from a podcast I heard on a car ride recently.
Oh, water tower bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that I feel like that's Malcolm Gladwell?
It is.
Is that his new...
I shouldn't have brought this up at the beginning of a basketball podcast. Celtics, Celtics, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, game five. I feel really good about these post games. We have a good track record of recording post game episodes. And they tend to make a lot of sense and be really incisive. So this was another blowout, which means that of the 9 conference finals games so far, maybe 8 of them have been blowouts.
Yeah, I think all but last night.
All but the Warriors-Rockets. Yeah, all but the game 4 Warriors-Rockets, which, by the way, I'm just going to announce for the record, this is the second time in this playoffs that I've done the miraculous feat of recording a game because for whatever reason, I just couldn't be at my TV in time, and I want to watch them in their entirety. I don't like just catching some of it. Recording, waking up the next morning, watching it without anybody letting me know what happened.
I can't believe you pulled that off. That means you shut down social, obviously. Uh-huh. You just did not even... Did you dare even look at, like, Instagram? No.
No. I hid my phone, I hid my computer, and I wake up super early, and I just... Honestly, it's the best way to start a morning... Make coffee and just sit in the living room in, like, not the pre-dawn hours, but pretty early, and just catch the game with no commercials, no halftime. It's very weird. It's not, I'm not trying to make it a habit, but I'm just saying I did it with a round one game. This is the first really high stakes playoffs game I've done this with. And it was really, it was special.
And you did it twice in a row.
Yeah. No, just this one. I did one,
oh, okay, okay.
I did one early round game, which, you know, that's okay. It's like, it was a,
did you watch the whole... And you watched the whole game.
Yes.
You know what happened some... Well, no, because that was a live taping, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll watch a re-air, come home super late, and watch the re-airing, but then the ticker during the goddamn game tells you the final score.
My dad always says the story about where he tried to do that with, like, the miracle hockey game, Olympic hockey game, the U.S. versus USSR. The one
Gretzky.
They made the miracle movie about with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, sure.
Gretzky?
I was just naming hockey
just
things, right?
Gretzky.
Right?
Gordie
Messier.
And he said he managed to wait the entire day, like work the whole day, get home, head down. This is pre-cell phone, so it's not, you know, it's a lot easier. But he said he was walking into the house.
No.
And the neighbor's kid was like,
no.
Dad, you see that? We pulled it off. And... Right as he's coming home. He had taped it with the VHS.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Tonight, game 5, decisive victory for the Celtics. Last time we talked, you were saying you have a hard time betting against LeBron. LeBron is now down 3-2, going to Cleveland for game 6, and then back to Boston for game 7 if Cleveland wins game 6. So that said, are you still unwilling to bet against LeBron?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that the Cavs can win game 7 in Boston.
Do you think they win game 6?
Maybe. I don't know that it matters because I don't think they can win in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that I was saying as we were watching the game tonight that, you know, the Cavs not only lose in Boston, they get smashed.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting blown out. I mean, everybody, each team is getting blown out. I mean, you had you were right to say that, you know, Rockets also got blown out before, but then they won a game. So another game. So,
well, but there's an asterisk that we should have both addressed there, which is the Rockets have so many assets. Like, the idea with the Rockets and the Warriors, and by extension the Celtics too, I think,
every team has more than one player who can win the game.
They
for
have
you.
Various tools where it's like, we can play this hand, we can play this hand.
Yeah.
Like when you're, I don't know what card game, is it Gin Rummy, where you're like, do I go for three of these, or do I go for the flush, or do I go for this? Where you have options that you can play around with. With the Cavs, it's like, you need every single thing to line up. Yeah, I mean, LeBron is going to be LeBron, but you need multiple other of these variables to actually play out. And in many cases, they don't. And by the way, I did read today that on my birthday this year, before a game against, I think, the Hornets, the Cavs made friends with a golden retriever named Remington.
Truly?
Therapy dog for the UNC baseball team, who they hit it off with so well that that night J.R. Smith like went off. And apparently they have revisited with this dog, Remington. They now, when they can, will fly Remington.
No.
When UNC baseball has an off night, they will fly Remington and his trainer to, like, they've done it for a couple playoff games.
That's incredible.
And they'll play. And
does
LeBron,
he get to watch the game, or does the Remington fly all that way to sit in the locker room?
That's interesting. I don't know if he watches the games. I know that he comes to hang out in the locker room, him and the trainer, and just to, like, boost the mood. And apparently LeBron
boost the mood.
LeBron and Coach Lou are not really big dog guys, or they just don't, you know, they're not needing it. But JR and Kevin Love, and honestly, like, that, I don't remember when it was, but it was also earlier this season when Kevin Love came out about basically different mental issues he was having, different problems, emotional or mental problems he was having. And then they bring in this therapy dog, and he's now thinking about a dog in his own life, like getting a dog. And JR is talking about how it really helped kind of center him. And just so you know, they didn't have him before tonight. Just pointing out.
He didn't make the road trip. Was he unavailable? What the fuck is
UNC baseball
problem?
Had a game. And he's their in-house dog.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Do players interact with Remington? Like, is it like a lucky, like the lucky stump on the Apollo?
Before the game, they're interacting.
They rub him?
Like, more than that. I think the way a therapy dog works in, like, a hospital, where they go around and they spend time and they really connect. It's pretty rad. But anyway, point being, that is one X factor where it's not a guarantee that JR shoots well. He had some games where he didn't shoot well after spending time with Remington, but I just like that as an X factor. But these other teams have more wiggle room. The Celtics are young, and they have this whole issue where, you know, is it possible that they'll quiver at the thought of a game 7? I don't really think so, man.
I don't think so.
And they withstood a run tonight where they were up strong, and then the Cavs went on like a 9-0 run, and the Celtics were missing shots that they should have been making, and they were threatening to
kind of—
Yeah,
and they didn't capitalize. Well, but I feel, you know, when I watch this series, and I want to move to the Warriors-Rockets series too, but when I watch this series, I feel bad for LeBron. I feel bad. The guy is so fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And he's put it together. He's like the fountain of youth. Not that he needed it, but the guy somehow is better than ever, you know, and you just see him carrying the whole world on his shoulders. And it's like, it's frustrating to watch him make, you know, an incredible steal, run it, push it up court, push it to the free throw line, make a great dish, and a guy just brick. And it's, and you look at it, and I always look at him for like the sigh, and then I got to run back up court and do it again. And then and burning your energy, and you never see him on the bench. And, you know, when you do, it's kind of like, well, where's LeBron? Okay, all right, he must be taking a 40-second break in a 48-minute game. You know, it's just brutal. It's not him. It's in the words of George Costanza, it's not you, it's me. Like, it's not, you know, it's not him, it's them. And
it's not him, it's them.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we have an episode title now.
We also have a T-shirt, maybe.
It's not him, it's them.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly interject that the Knicks' new coach, David Fizdale, went to the game tonight, and he brought Emmanuel Mudiay, Frank Ntilikina, and Damian Dotson, two of last year's rookies, and Mudiay, to just kind of go on a bonding trip.
They went
to
watch the game tonight?
They went to see the game in Boston. I just like that.
That's cool.
People are surprised that he's doubling down on his support of Mudiay and also maybe Lance Thomas.
Why surprised with Mudiay?
Because he hasn't been necessarily showing that he's got the chops for a sustainable NBA career. He was doing a lot of driving and not really anywhere to go with the ball.
Well, sure.
He was maybe,
rookie.
Well, no. So now, not a rookie anymore.
Well, no, but I mean, he's a young
player.
But
you mean young buck.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I'm not throwing him out with the, you know.
Fizdale also was, Fizz was talking about Lance Thomas being like a Draymond Green type. It's confusing.
Hmm.
So anyway, I don't want
in a good way or bad way?
You know, in a good way, which yeah, really sure. confuses Knicks fans because how is that
like
possible?
We've watched him play.
But I do like the idea of him having the bonding experience there. You wanted to talk more Rockets Dubs, though.
Well, it's just a, I was just going to say it's a far more exciting series. I don't know if that's always been the case or that's fair. There's a lot to be excited about watching the Celtics thrive without their two best players. That's exciting. It's exciting to like watch a competitive series in the East. We haven't seen a competitive series in the East. LeBron post Miami losing games.
Yeah.
Right? Like LeBron, they usually just sweep the Raptors and
they've been down 2-0 in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember speaking of the Raptors. I think the Raptors went up 2-0 on them and then lost 4-2. Didn't that happen a few years ago? I don't know. It all blurs together. Oh, I'm glad you stuck with the East because I had one thing I wanted to talk about that I'm sure I'm not the only one to think about, but it weighs on me lately. This idea that if you support, let's say you really like LeBron James and you want his legacy to be enhanced and you're interested in the LeBron over Jordan argument, as many are.
Mm-hmm.
It may be in your best interest for him to lose in the conference finals. Because I feel like the way shit is going now,
oh no,
the more finals he
losses?
Goes to, yeah, the more that somehow goes. So I feel like there's a world in which it goes against him to make the finals and lose. Because people are 3-5,
I thought
three
about
five.
That because I just saw, I actually wanted to talk to you about this. I just saw people have been making something about Pippen being like on TMZ, talking about how he's better than LeBron and better than me, right?
This.
But there was also this thing that, what was it about showing Jordan when he moved to point guard under Phil Collins.
Oh, wow. That'd be good. Doug Collins.
When Jordan was part of Genesis, he moved to point guard and he had 10 triple doubles in 11 games. This like great run in 89.
No.
And there was this YouTube video narrated, kind of just highlighting this moment, this like forgotten about moment. When the Bulls were losing games and Jordan wanted to make an adjustment, and he went and talked to Doug, some of us call him Phil in the business, Collins, and he just went on a tear of triple doubles. I think he went 10 triple doubles in 11 games. They only won 5 of those games, but it was just an interesting little subset.
Yeah.
But how did we get to this?
We're talking about LeBron versus Jordan.
And LeBron's just on what did he just set some record for 40 40 points and triple doubles.
Yeah.
I just saw this thing that also showed his stats versus Harden's for the year. Really makes
I know it makes a big MVP argument for LeBron.
Every single stat except for one that's even.
The only stat they don't include is wins. And that's Harden's biggest argument. And I know it's because he's a better supporting cast, but the MVP being on like a team that's number one in their conference, 60-plus games. Like, that's the only stat that's not on that stat sheet. Team wins.
Yes.
Which I know you can't hold LeBron accountable for, but that's legit. That's something.
Fair enough. He doesn't have Chris Paul, but fair enough.
Anyway, it's interesting that Dave Hartley, friend of the show, who really, there's always the third chair at the table, just in case
there really
he shows
is.
Up.
The ghost of Hartley.
He was basically pointing out the other day this thing about, like, shouldn't we, instead of saying, you could say LeBron is 3-5 in the finals and Jordan is 6-0.
That's why I brought that up. Because watching that video, that's all I actually was meaning to say.
Well,
when I watched that video of Jordan, it pointed out that he was 6-6 in finals.
I know. But,
and that's so hard to...
Right, but what if you extend or extrapolate from there, whatever X verb to use... And it's...
Don't you dare.
You go...
Where are you going?
Hang on. And you judge a guy's career by, like, every year he didn't win the finals is a loss. Or every year he didn't get to the finals is a loss.
You're not off the hook because you fucking didn't make the playoffs and he went to the finals.
Right, so
you lost the finals.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
so
totally.
It's intense that he is now... Were he to win this year, he would be on, what, his 8th in a row and 9th out of 15 seasons? So going to the finals...
It's crazy.
9/15,
60%
of your career every year you're going to the finals.
Is that a record?
It's gotta be. I mean,
or is like,
I mean, and so then LeBron, and so MJ was MJ went one every time he went, and he played 14 years, right? So he went 6 out of 14. I'm just saying, I find it so hard to compare now. And when I talk to friends, I still think about the terror that MJ put in my heart watching him play. You never knew for sure. Certainly that he was going to win.
Yeah.
Like, there's never been a guy where I was like, oh, he has the ball. I might as well just go to bed.
Yeah.
It's over.
One-man roadblock.
But ever since Cleveland winning the championship, I think LeBron has unlocked this new thing, this new level.
Yeah,
we,
a new
we
level.
We talked about it. It's because he got the open run. Emotional.
Well, the open run bump.
Emotional
sure.
open run bump.
Yeah, yeah.
After that victory.
He is a cyborg.
But, like, I'm just curious how, going forward, how that gets enhanced. Like, what is he supposed? What is LeBron's? I know we're supposed to talk more playoffs, but this is
well,
part of
but
it.
I just where is Kyrie?
What is LeBron?
You did all
at?
This with Kyrie, and then you just don't have Kyrie.
I know, and he didn't want that. He supposedly. He
so
didn't
is that
want
a new story that came out that said that he wasn't behind that?
Well,
but what is that?
Yeah, that he didn't. I have no idea what.
How could that be? How could that be? We're trading Kyrie Irving without LeBron's blessing.
I think Kyrie put up a stink wanting to leave.
That's right. I'm completely being ahistorical here.
No, but you would think.
I'm emotional, okay?
The rumors were that prior to that, there had been trades offered where Kyrie was in the package, and Kyrie was upset about that.
Yeah.
Did LeBron okay that? Who the hell knows what goes on behind the scenes?
For that.
But my question to you is this. What possible, like, third act, fourth act, maybe fourth act, could LeBron do that would make things right? Or make things, not right, but make things like...
Third act, you mean like going
like
to the Rockets
him over
and winning
Jordan.
Three chips in a row?
Yes, so I guess, because it was Cavs, Heat, so I guess technically it's fourth.
Fourth chapter?
Yeah, is it bringing more...
The epilogue?
Rings like that? I don't know.
Yeah, go get your fucking rings. Go to Houston.
Go to Houston.
I mean, I love the idea of going to L.A. selfishly, because that's where I am a lot, but like, go to L.A. with Paul George...
Or Philly.
Yeah, some people like Philly. I mean, I've got love for Philly. I don't know that that's the championship move. I don't see how that decision competes with Houston.
I know.
You got to face the Warriors one way or another.
What if he changes the whole paradigm and is like, I no longer think of this
I'm
in terms
going to the
of
Bucks.
Rings. I'm doing, I don't know. Oh, the Bucks. Oh, I do want to talk about that, by the way. The Bucks situation that just happened.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is that right before recording, well, before watching the game tonight, I did watch in its entirety the 30-minute, 34-second grueling video of Sterling Brown from the Bucks getting harangued by the police in Milwaukee outside of a Walgreens near the arena at 2 a.m. one January night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I believe they played...
You're watching a tape that just came out,
yeah.
Just released.
Today, the body cam footage was released... Milwaukee PD. What had happened was Sterling Brown goes to a Walgreens near the arena late at night. He pulls into a parking spot, but it's not really a spot. He pulls across two spots, like perpendicular to the parking lines.
Yeah, not a good park, a reckless, hasty park.
A reckless parking job, right?
If it was a packed parking lot, you'd say it's a dick move.
It's the middle of the night, and according to what little you can hear from the beginning of the conversation, you only hear the cop. It's a little harder to hear Sterling Brown. He basically is just saying, yeah, he just, like, just popped in and out. And the cop's like, yeah, well, long enough for me to, like, watch you for a minute and see you go in and out. Like there's this strange
thing. Is
there audio? There's audio, but it's harder. It's obviously easier to hear the cop. But the cop is well, let's just first lay out the broader facts. It goes from a conversation between the cop and Sterling Brown, who he's, like, accusing of getting all up in my face, and you need to stay back. You need to back up. One, two, three, several cop cars come sirens blaring to surround. And this one cop kind of retreats and starts talking to other cops who've shown up. By the time he returns to Sterling Brown is now surrounded by other police who are questioning about who knows what. When all that's happened is like a potential parking ticket scenario, it escalates. He gets tasered. He ends up getting... And he's handcuffed, put in the car. He's brought to the station. I believe charges are not filed or he's dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is he has to endure this crazy passage where you never know what's going to happen. The longer the amount of time he spends with the cops, the more of a question mark this thing results in. And he's being totally calm. He's just being like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's basically just being like asking them really just normal questions like, how is this going to play out? Well, I'm waiting for my partner to come. Well, what are you thinking about? See if I'm going to give you a parking ticket or whatever. And he's like, what do you mean? Look. What else is that? Why do you need your partner for that? And then so many people show up. I'm ranting on. The end result is I believe he's going to file suit against the PD. Uh-huh. And the Bucks immediately came out with a statement. He released a statement about it, and the Bucks released a statement of support saying this is outrageous. And also, I read that the New York-based president of the Bucks said he had been, after a visit to Milwaukee in January, made a comment about how Milwaukee was like the craziest, most segregated place he'd visited. Yeah. So anyway,
interesting.
This is the stuff I like quickly downloaded.
We'll post that video on the Twitter page too.
Yeah,
for reference.
We reposted their statements, but anyway. It's just a weird day for this shit because that came on the heels of the NFL.
On the NFL tying two things together, which are you must stand and honor the flag as if standing is honoring the flag, even though there's nothing in the flag code, U.S. flag code, that suggests that kneeling is anything but a act of humility, not something that is against flag code at all. What is against flag code is all the uses of the flag that we use for underwear and bathing suits and on our trucks and wrapped around as a t-shirt, using the flag as a piece of apparel. All the ways that good old boys...
This is actually textbook.
Textbook. In the paperwork, it is a violation of the flag code. All the ways we use the American flag, except for kneeling, which was actually an idea given to Colin Kaepernick from a U.S. Navy SEAL because it was not disrespectful to the flag.
No, because it was a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the Sterling Brown video for me was... the thing that we've discussed before, like on and off the show, but this thing of like, oh, so this is what happens when an officer does activate the body camera. It is recording the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy they're harassing is a professional basketball player, and so this sees the light of day.
Yes, exactly.
Like, the
what
number
if he was
of factors
just...
that have to play into this actually being, that me getting to see this at all,
yeah,
is so extreme. And by the way, the whole time the cop's boasting, like, my camera's on, I'm catching all of this.
Buddy.
Yeah. It's very weird. But the really haunting part is that thing which we talked about before, which is just like, if I'm seeing this.
Yeah, there's so much you're not.
There's this anyway.
The unheard.
And it's really great that the team, it's just good to see
the
team.
Well,
yeah, and
that reminds me of the Kings when there was a big protest.
We talked about
it. Outside of them, like, the team standing up, like, black players are people. They're people, and they have a right to want to like have walk around and live with dignity and respect, and that baggage that impacts them when they come and work for you and make a revenue for you. We're not monkeys in a cage, you know, not zoo animals. Human beings that have emotions and pay taxes, by the way. but anyway, back to on the court stuff.
Oh, I will say, segue out of the Bucks.
Yeah.
Mike Budenholzer, right?
Oh, Budenholzer.
Mike Budenholzer, I want to double check this real quick, but Mike Budenholzer, when did that officially happen? He was hired by the Bucks, a couple days ago? And he was quoted saying about Giannis that it was miserable coaching against him.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that is like...
he's indefensible. His style is impregnable.
This could be a really serious. This could be a serious pairing.
Yeah.
Because that roster, since Giannis has been there, it's been Jason Kidd was there, who people thought was mismanaging the roster. I don't know enough, honestly, about Bucks basketball to speak to that. But there are certain things you would see that would back that up. I'm sorry. Where is that spider attached to?
So we're outside on the roof, as we told you, and let's give you a little color commentary here. There's a beautiful spider climbing across thin air, towards the.
Does he have a web
facade
connecting both?
Holy. The question is there a bottom web here? It's an optical illusion. It's a magic show. Like the.
Wow.
And it's not connected to that brick. Where are you going, Chief?
Okay.
This is, this is the hard-hitting content you're getting when you're listening to the Open Run
on
a podcast. Two guys at midnight on a roof.
Reminds me of Donovan Mitchell's Instagram handle.
Spider Mitchell.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the ghost of Spider Mitchell. Who's going to come on the show? We should call him up for next week. Great guy. Great guy. Yeah. And that's what that was. That's the ghost of Christmas. It's Donovan.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So we're calling. Finals predictions here. Who's facing who?
Oh wow!
Are these both going to Game 7, or are they finishing up in Game 6?
I have renewed hope for the Rockets because of the way they withstood. Warriors.
You saw Curry going nuts.
Oh, Curry did that. By the way, Curry did that shit, and they didn't even talk about it because it's such a Curry thing to do. Where he was pulling up from 10 feet behind the 3-point line.
And the shimmy afterwards with the
mouth. Yeah, Marvin's just like, Curry for three. And it's like,
Curry again. And then he
And he's just doing the shots that only he would do. You saw a glimpse
sprinting
of
across
like
the baseline, hitting the other corner.
That's also pre-KD Warriors stuff,
Yeah.
Which is confusing because as pre-KD Warriors stuff is going, he's struggling.
Do you sometimes watch the Warriors playing and playing hot and then realize the ball goes to KD? You're like, oh, that's right, they have KD.
Yes. I have moments where I'm looking, I'm like, oh. He is on the floor.
Not in
right?
that he's a non-factor, in that like, oh, that's right, you've added an all-world player also.
I know. It's
that I'm that I'm fully entertained without seeing him touch the ball, and then you add him to it.
It's very funny. Yeah. And also, they were like hateable enough just as winners before his arrival turns their whole dynasty into this. People have now been doing the revisionist history where now it's like the Warriors are a super team, but the truth is they built through the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, yes, it's bizarre to look at them. But it's also interesting, now we're going into Game 5, which is tomorrow, which means tonight. If you're hearing this tonight, because this is coming out on Thursday, but we're recording it Wednesday night. Game 5 is Thursday night.
Yeah. Tonight.
Now both Iguodala.
Iguodala's going to sit.
Tomorrow's news today. Iguodala and Clay are both iffy now.
Because Clay had a little knee. Yeah, he was hobbled. Yeah.
He had a knee.
Didn't take a knee. He had a knee.
Now they got a couple wobblers, and they're going back to H-Town. What if they go back to Golden State up 3-2? Are you going Celtics-Rockets? I'm thinking realistically it's Celtics-Warriors.
Yeah, I think so, too. If the Rockets grab this next one at home,
that's exciting. I'd like to say Rockets-Celtics.
That's exciting. It's nice to see that we're getting closer than ever to, like, so-called, like, parity in the league.
Yeah.
You know, like the
or
fact that
it's just
the Celtics,
not the same two teams every
yeah, like that, like other teams can build and compete, and it's not futile. You know, these efforts. You know, it's not. You're not just going to end up. It didn't fall apart. I mean,
I want to have
a beautiful thing. I love the game.
I want to bring up an old segment we haven't done in a while.
Okay,
it's called "Should I Buy This?"
Oh yes,
this one's starring Jesse Williams.
Oh no,
there's a shirt that our friend Garrett Colton alerted us to.
Huge. Show ambassador.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like Garrett just spends a lot of time just trolling the web for things to taunt us with.
Yeah. He's a
to delight
a
us
bitch.
With, to tantalize us with. And
what's,
I'm saying this because of a
Garrett
shirt
got
I saw
today,
recently. Here, Garrett points out a shirt for sale.
Okay. Grateful Dead shirt?
From a guy out in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ooh.
It's a 1994. They're dancing in Chicago.
I will
Grateful
buy this shirt
Dead,
right now.
Chicago Bulls cross.
This is a Grateful Dead
so
Chicago
yes,
Bulls crossover
like.
Shirt. Wait, is this not already purchased?
Oh, it could be. I don't know. How old's that post? And it's not crazy. It's like, you know.
Eight hours ago.
Well.
I'm going to buy this right now. Okay. We got to end this show early.
Should I buy this? Have I bought this?
That is so dope.
Do you see? Yeah. So I would say the handle, but I don't want anybody buying it before
you
do.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you guys.
But that's good, right?
Yeah, I mean, Garrett's a genius, especially with apparel. I mean, the guy's
run
and owned so many clothing shops.
Visionary.
Yeah, great taste. Garrett, let us know where we should send fans who are swinging through Oklahoma City to partake.
And I know that his brother, the Colton family, is a part of a venue over there. So we're going to have
in
to
OKC?
Start sending people there. Yeah. We need to do an episode there. But do we both think it's Celtics-Warriors then?
I think so, though I have the right to change my mind if Houston does the right thing and wins at home.
But you think it's def?
No, I think it's Celtics Warriors.
You think it's definitely Celtics?
Yeah, it's almost like I just feel bad for my man LeBron. He's my favorite. And he's just doing it by himself, and that sucks. And I don't mean like by himself to shit on other, you know, everybody else is out there trying, but It is what it is. We're all watching the game.
Yeah. It's just going to be strange to see. I will say I had a dream that I don't think this is going to happen, but I guess it's somewhere buried in my subconscious. I still have this bullshit thing in my brain where I had a dream that LeBron joined the Knicks, and I was like last to the truck that was selling the jerseys.
Really?
Yeah, and my dreams sometimes...
That was definitely a dream.
There's a history of dreams in my family coming true.
Is there?
Yeah.
Like what?
Can't go into it, but my mother's had some dreams.
Got it. All right.
My mother's had dreams that came true. I don't want to blow up her spot. My mom's dream is to be ungoogleable. My mom has long been...
Oh, God, don't say that to our listeners.
She has been... Oh, shit.
And don't send them on that.
Okay, forget that. Anyway, moving on. Yeah.
Wowzers.
I think we're going to need... Oh, you know what?
Tell me.
I do want to quickly say, and we've been posting a little bit about it, but we have a loyal listener, J. Kyle Mann.
Yeah, J. Kyle Mann, sure.
Who has started his own hoops interest called Dime Drop Hoops. And I want to shout it out because he's been making these really great comp videos, like scouting videos on YouTube for players who are going to be in this upcoming draft class. And he's narrating them in characteristically sassy ways. And he's making these little comp clouds where it's like he's narrating these videos about the player and they culminate in this beautifully animated thing where it's an illustration of the guy and then around him as satellites, the players who he reminds them of. It's these like in-depth videos.
Really?
So I do recommend them to people. I think he might have just been doing one. I'm hoping he does one soon on Bridges, on Michael Bridges. But he made one about Marvin Bagley. He made one on Trey Young. He made one on Colin Sexton. The video is called Sexton and Driving.
Brilliant.
So I just wanted to talk about that.
This guy's a man after our own heart in the name game.
Yes. So everyone, you go check out Dime Drop Hoops. And then
just bought that shirt, by the way. Done. Transaction.
Are you serious?
Yep.
It's a good size, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did it?
Yep.
Does he have an Etsy? What's he got?
It fits like a medium, so I knew that was good for me. Nipples will be seen.
It
was a Big Cartel to PayPal.
We still have a few shirts left on Big Cartel, by the way.
Okay, what's that handle?
That handle is the box under my bed. It's called Open Run. .bigcartel.com. There's so few left. I'm going into the personal stash.
Right. Going into the old last minute gift stash.
I'm telling you, Father's Day coming up.
Yeah, there it is.
What more could? What
That's
more,
what
more?
A young dad wants, and by young dad I mean any dad, and maybe not even a dad, just a person.
Openrun.bigcartel.com.
Scoop them. Going while they're hot. They're going fast.
Meet us right here on the roof next week. Same time, same place.
Peace. Let's go game sevens all around.
For more Open Run, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or visit openrunshow.com. And if you like being in the loop, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Open Run.